you please pray about this. Listen, folks, while I'm on the subject, we need more vehicles. If God gives you a vehicle to give to the mission board, don't mistake it and keep it for yourself. Amen. We need vehicles. We need food supplies. We need money. Always need money to help run this mission board. And God has blessed. He's always blessed. And I'll guarantee you. Listen, if you want to bring food and give them food, whatever you want to do, it'll not be turned away. If you want to buy them a battery or whatever we need for the car, if you want to fix their car, tires, you think it's easy to run a board? You try it. Amen. God didn't say it would be easy. Hey, I got news for you. It ain't easy to pastor you people. Amen. God didn't say it would be easy. Amen. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Amen. I love you. Amen. I even love Sister Barbara. Amen. And who said that she couldn't be pastored? See there? See, it just goes to prove God can do anything. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, Mark chapter 5. Now listen to me, church, I do love you. And I'm not mad at anybody. Listen, what I preached this morning, I had to preach. I'd not be right with God if I didn't preach what God told me to preach. And I want to preach, I want to do what God says do, but I don't want to hurt you. I have no desire to hurt any of you. Amen. It's not my makeup, it's not my desire. My heart's desire is to see every one of you prosper and to see your homes prosper and to see your lives prosper and to see you saved and richly blessed and ready and prepared to meet Jesus.
Amen.
That's my desire.
Amen.
Amen. And if that's wrong, I'm wrong. Amen. Mark chapter 5, and look with me, please, beginning at verse number 11. Mark chapter 5 and beginning at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion," watch this now, "sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with a devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, Father, have your way in the reading of your word tonight, God. May Jesus be glorified, and God, may we get this point across. We'll thank in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see, Jesus is about helping people. Amen. That's His life, that's His livelihood, that's His compassion, amen. His life is about others. His life is about helping people, amen. And so He came across and He finds this man that's full of the devil, amen. He's full of legions, meaning many. And he had the devil in him, amen. And he was full of evil spirits and wickedness and ungodliness. And so Jesus did what Jesus does. You say, what does he do? He helped the man. Amen. And Jesus helped the man. The Bible said when they came, they found this man and he was clothed. He was in his right mind. Hallelujah to God. That sounds like what he did to some of us. Amen. I remember when he came to me, amen. And I was full of the devil, amen. And Jesus touched me and clothed me and gave me a right mind. That's what he does. That's what he's good at, amen. And these people needed help. And just like a lot of folks in the world today, everywhere you turn, the devil's there. Everywhere you turn, people are in trouble. Everywhere you turn, they need help. Amen? Everywhere you look, people are full of evil spirits and wickedness and all kinds of ungodliness and filthiness. Amen? Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, it's the same thing. People need help. Not only do they need help, but you need to help them. Now, here's a situation where this old boy needed help. And Jesus helped the man. Jesus fixed his problem. Jesus set him straight. Jesus gave him a mind back. Jesus put some clothes on him. Jesus touched his life. Jesus changed his soul. Jesus fixed his problem, amen. Jesus helped him. But because of that, some got mad. Some got upset. And you say, why, preacher? Because he messed up their swine business. He messed up their hog farm. He messed up their sausage grinding plant. He ruined their bacon factory, amen? And they got mad and they got upset. And listen, these people are the real Gadarenes. It wasn't the man that was the Gadarene. It was these people that were full of the devil. Hello? They had the real devil. You see that thing tonight? They were the ones that were really in trouble. They were the ones with the problem, amen? And like many in the world today, they needed help. Now we realize that people need help, amen? And listen, all they cared about was their business. They didn't care about that young man. They didn't care if his mama had a broken heart. They didn't care if his daddy was in agony over his condition. They didn't care if the boy died or starved or what his problem was. They didn't care about him. All they cared about was their money-making business. Just like so many today. And yet they still needed help. So here they are. These need help. And you need to help people. Amen. You know what you did tonight by giving? You helped somebody. That's what it's about, amen? Listen, this ministry, this life, is not about you, amen? It's about others. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's not about your blessing. It's not about your satisfaction. It's not about your selfishness. Hey, it's about helping others that stand in the need, amen? They needed help. And yet, there's some people you just can't help. And so I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on some more people you just can't help. Amen? Now, we dealt with this just last week, and I gave you about four or five, told you I had about that many more. And I want to finish that tonight. I want to show you some more folks you just can't help. There's some people you just can't fix their problem. There's some people you just can't help, amen? There's some people, no matter how much you pray, how much you try, how hard you cry, there's some people you just can't help, amen? No matter what you do for them, it ain't enough. No matter how much you go, it's not enough. No matter how much you pray, it's not enough. Hey, you just can't help some people, amen? Let me give you about four or five real quick. There's some people tonight you just can't help. Are you with me? Everybody all right? There's some that you just can't help. It's our calling to help people. It's a call on our life. If you've got the compassion of God, if you've got the love of God in your heart that constrains you, you ought to be helping somebody. You ought to have somebody on your heart. You ought to have somebody in your mind that you want to try to say, get help, amen. Ought to be somebody besides you. Ought to be somebody besides always your family, amen. There's other people in the world besides your four. There's other people in the world besides your children. There's some folks need help tonight, amen. But as sure as as you try, there's some you just can't help. Can I give you about four or five real quick? You cannot help a person who is lazy. You hear me tonight? Look with me, please, in Psalm chapter 22. And let me read you some scriptures. You can't help a lazy person. Did you know that? There's some folks, they're lazy, and you ain't going to help their need. You can forget it. You can give to them, they'll waste it. You can help them, they'll squander it. You can do for them, they won't appreciate it. There's some people you just can't help. You can't help a lazy person. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 22, if you will, please. Proverbs and chapter number 22. And verse number 13 says, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." Amen. I'm talking about lazy. That guy, the Bible says he's slothful. You say, what's slothful? It's lazy. That means he don't care. He's not interested in doing his part. Hey, there's some people that's lazy tonight that won't. You cannot help somebody that will not help themselves. Amen. You can't help a lazy person. You can't help somebody. You give them, you know what you'll do? You'll give them take them a basket of tomatoes and every one of them will sit there and rot because they're too stinking lazy to cut them and make a sandwich. That's the way people are. I'm talking about slothfulness. That guy, listen, the Bible don't say there's a lion in the street. The Bible said, the slothful man said, there's a lion in the street. Probably ain't no lion out there. There's no lion out there. You say, why ain't there a lion? It's just in his mind. It's just from his mouth. It's just his excuse for being lazy. Amen. Let me show you. I'll prove. Look at chapter 26 of Proverbs. Same thing. We'll see it again. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. Amen. So what does he do? He goes to sleep. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He didn't even get out of bed and see if there was a lion. He was too lazy to get up and check. Listen, you know what's going to happen? You know, I have met some lazy, sorry people in my life. I have had some lazy, sorry Christians in this church. Amen. I'm telling you, I have seen them come through, and they didn't stay very long, but I have seen some come through for a while, and brother, they're too stinking lazy to help themselves. Every time you turn around, you gotta give them money, or give them a handout, and they squandered it, and they pillaged it away, and they will not use it to get ahead in life. They will not help themselves. They're just lazy, amen. They're slothful and lazy. They're always sleeping. Always asleep at the job. Always asleep. Never going to do anything to get ahead. You know what he has? He has sleep. A lazy man has poverty. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Hurry. Let me show you these real quick. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Never. Just long enough to sit up and eat. If somebody else will feed him. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Watch this. Verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You hear that thing? You know what? They won't get up and get a job. Man, don't work, ain't fit to eat. Or not eat. Amen? I get sick and tired of folks coming by here begging for handouts. always want, you know what? You know what? We're living in a day when they expect you to help them. They expect the church to give. They'll come by here, stand out there, and, well, preacher, just wanted you to know we're down on our luck. I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife's sick, and she's going to die if she don't get some food, and we're just in a mess, you know. And by the way, I want that 2-all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, whole onions, amen. That's the way they treat you, amen. By the way, can I get a little, mustard to go with that, and maybe a little lettuce on the side, and maybe some tater chips if you don't mind?
Yeah, amen.
Hey, forget that, man. Go outside and get them some frozen deer meat and a match.
Yeah.
Now go cook you something, amen?
Amen.
You can't help a lazy person. There's some people you just can't help, amen? Listen to me, girls. If you're lazy, you don't deserve a husband.
Right.
If you're lazy, you don't deserve to live for God. You ought to not be lazy. You ought to always be studious. Get up on time. When mom and dad calls you or when the clock goes off, get out of that bed and get ready and do what you're supposed to do. Get your chores done. Don't be laying around, lounging around. You know how you can tell a lazy person? You can go in their bedroom and they got popcorn laying beside the bed all over the floor. And maybe there's cups and peanut butter jars and they're too lazy to get up and go put it back in the cabinet. Did I hurt anybody right there? And then they got ants, mounds and valleys and hills of ants, and the ants is taking over their house, and they're coming in the bedroom, and the ants has done eat up the they've done cleaned the peanut butter jar. And they're over there working on that last little bit of cereal that you and they're carrying off popcorn. Ants. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Where's the Bible for that? Consider the ant, thou sluggard.
Yeah, amen.
What's a sluggard? A lazy person.
Amen.
What's a sluggard? A slothful person. He said, you consider them ants. Why would he want you to consider ants? Because they're picking up what you're too lazy to pick up. They're carrying off what you're too lazy to throw away.
Right.
Hello, he said, hey, you cannot help a lazy person.
Amen.
You can't do it. You can forget it. They're a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Why don't we just rest a while? You know what? The Bible says he's going to have poverty. He's one of these days, poverty's going to come like an armed man traveling. He's going to come up. You know what? He's not going, Candy Graham. Ain't going to do that. Avon. Pizza delivery. No, he's not. Wham! With an armed gun. And come in the house and take you and ruin you. What will? Poverty. Why? Too lazy to work. Too lazy to get up and take care after yourself. Too lazy to comb your hair and brush your teeth. Are you listening to me? You ought not be like that. You can't help somebody's lazy. You give to them, they'll squander it away. You give to them, and you know what? They'll never be satisfied. You'll never give them enough. You'll always owe them. They'll always, hey, somebody like that, you can never help them. You can never give them enough. You can never do enough for them. You can never go enough for them. You'll never satisfy them. You cannot help a lazy person.
Right.
Are you listening to me? I'm talking about some folks you can't help tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, I think you ought to help people. Did I say that? Did I say people need help? Amen. But there's some you just can't help. You can do for a lazy person, but you're not going to help them. You know what? The more you do for them, the more you're hurting them. You're not helping them, you're hurting them. You know what? You do for them, and you know, we raising youngins like that today. They'll sit in there in front of that stick in the Nintendo, or in front of that Xbox, and or in front of them videos, or them cartoons, and while mama goes in there 3 times a day and shovels them food and brings it in there, sticks it in front of her face. Anything else I can get for you, Junior? What else, baby? What else do you need, baby? Baby's 18 years old, sitting there stinking, laying in the middle, sprawled out on the floor. Got plates from breakfast over here and plates from lunch over here. Too lazy to pick up a napkin he's wiped his mouth with. And mama's in there. What else you need, Junior? He needs his butt whooped for what he needs. Needs to get up off his can and go to work. We're raising a generation of lazy people. You know something I know about them? You can't help them. You can't help them, can you, Hattie? That's right. At least she's paying attention. He has poverty. He's got to have sleep. He's wasteful. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Hurry. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Let me show you this. Proverbs chapter 12. He's a lazy person. Amen. Proverbs 12, look at verse number 27. The Bible says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You say, what's he saying, preacher? He goes out there and kills elk and kills deer. And man, he loves to brag about all that he's killed, but he won't bring it home. He won't cook it. He won't kill it or clean it. He just kills it. That's a slothful man. He likes the sport of it. You know, one of our church members came to me one time, told me he had shot, I can't remember if it was squirrels or birds. Forgive me, I can't remember. But he said, he told me he had shot some birds or some squirrels or something. And I said, Brother John, did you clean them? Don't look at your pawpaw. I'm not talking to John Henry. You see, son, what I'm telling you? Don't kill it if you're not going to clean it. Don't kill them just to watch them die. Amen? I'm just using him, but I'm telling you, that's a good illustration. That's, you know what he's saying? He's wasteful. He's not going to clean what he gets. We don't, you know what? People starving to death. You're going to go and shoot a deer that can feed a family for 6 months and let the sucker lay there and rot? God help you. People do it. Who does it, preacher? Lazy people. Amen. I've heard stories. I've had lazy people come in here and tell me how many deer they've killed, how they done this, and always boasting and bragging about what they do. Didn't want to borrow money for Burger King. Are you listening? You can't help a lazy person. Amen? He's wasteful. He has poverty. He's not going to work. Look at Proverbs 21. Look at what it says. I'm not saying this. The Bible's saying this, folks. Amen? Proverbs 21, look at verse number 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty only to want. You see this? Amen? He's not going to work. Look at chapter 24. Hurry. Chapter 24, if you will. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse number 30. I said he won't work. I went by the field of the slothful. Went by and seen the lazy man's garden. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We read that before, didn't we? You say, why? Because a man that sleeps all the time and a man that won't work is the same man. He's a lazy man. Amen. And he said, I went by his field the other day, and he had just thorns that took over his garden. And just weeds all just took over the garden. At least Sister Barbara don't let that happen at her place. Amen. I went by the other day. My wife was going out of town. And guess who's out there in the garden? Getting the weeds out. Amen. Sister Barbara out there getting the weeds out. Don't need another tomato. The tomato wouldn't do her good for nothing in the world. She's just going to get the weeds out so she can pluck that tomato and give it to somebody. That's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Glory to God. I'm glad she gives away tomatoes.
But a slothful man won't do that. He'll let the weeds grow up. But I didn't see you all. I don't know if it's broken down or not. I didn't get to look at that. Amen? All right, let me move on. There's some people you can't help, folks. You can't help a lazy man. Amen? You can't help somebody who prefers pity over power. Are you listening? Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Hurry. They desire your pity for their sorrow rather than God's power to get out of it. Amen? In Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Amen? You see, you know what they do? They don't care nothing about getting help. They don't care nothing. You can't help them. You know what you can do? Pity them. You know what they want? They want you to feel sorry for them. You know what? They like sitting around everybody seeing how bad they got it. They want you to know how much trouble they are in. You know what? There's people that like to call me and tell me how bad things are. You don't believe me. I got folks that call me just to tell me how horrible it is. Oh, it's me. Life is terrible. I can't stand it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to fix this. I don't know how we're going to get out of this problem. I don't know what we're going to do with this. Well, this happened. Well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but. Well, I don't mean to call and bother you, but. Well, I don't want to tell you nothing's wrong, but. You got to watch them buts. Amen? They don't want, you can't help somebody like that. You say, what do you do? Just listen. That's all you can do. You can't help them. You can't fix their problem. They don't want you to fix their problem. They don't want the power of God. They don't want help with it. They don't want wisdom with it. They just want you to know how miserable they are. You can't help somebody like that. Amen. You can try. You can pray for them. You can go to them. You can call them. You can't help them. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your effort. You're not going to help them. Amen. They like misery. They dread life. They have, according to the Word of God, a broken spirit. You can't fix them. You ever seen anybody like that and you try to help them? And no matter what you say, it's the wrong answer. No matter what you say, that ain't it. You don't understand what I'm going through, preacher. Yeah, but I'm trying to understand. After 4 hours of listening, I'm trying to figure it out. Well, I think if you'll just do this. No, I've done tried that. That ain't the answer. They don't want to answer. Matter of fact, you can't help a person like that. Do you know that most of the time, most people that come to my office that's like that, they love pity more than power. They're not there to get a problem fixed. All they want to do is unload. All they want you to do is listen.
Yeah, amen.
You can't fix it. You can't help them. They don't want your money. They don't want nothing you got. They don't want your answer. All they want is your ear. And I'll tell you something. That's okay the first two or three times you meet them. But after about two or three years of it, it gets kind of old. Preacher, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And every single time, I tell them what to do, how to fix it, how to get it right, how to make it work. And you know what? Not one time, not ever have they ever, never taken my advice. You can't show them in the Word of God, this is what you need to do. They won't take it. You say, why won't they? Because they don't want it. They want to be miserable. Are you listening to me, folks? I'm telling you. There's some people you can't help. You reckon there's a reason why God wants me to preach this?
Sure, brother. Amen. Yes, sir.
Always. See, you can't help somebody that's lazy. You cannot help somebody that prefers pity over power. Amen? You know what they like to do? They like to wallow in their self-pity. What's that them they say? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know what I'm talking about? That's the whole hee-haw gang. Amen. Well, so-and-so came in the other night, and so-and-so left with so-and-so, and I got, and you know, my dog died, and my house cat caught on fire, you know, and my truck broke down, and you know, oh, it's me, I don't know what to do, preacher, help me, preacher, what can I do, preacher? Well, the Bible says, I don't want to hear that. You can't help somebody that just wants your pity. They don't want power. They don't want to fix it. They don't want to have joy. They want to have misery.
Amen.
And they want somebody else to have it with them.
Amen.
Come on in here, preacher, and take a drink with me. That's what they do. I mean, I told somebody one time, I said, why don't you go get a drink? I'll tell you who it was, but you'd know them. I did. I said, how? I said, you live with that one. They drink all the time. They're miserable. You're miserable. Why don't you just go get a drink? They said, why? Why dare you tell me to go get a drink? Why not? You're miserable anyway. Well, I mean, my gosh, if you go, hey, Bible says, give a drink to a man that's ready to perish. I'm not making it up. You say, well, you telling us to drink? No. Are you saved? Hello? Are you saved?
Amen.
You been born again?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, what does John 3:16 say?
Yeah, come on.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes Him should not
perish.
You're not going to perish.
Exactly right.
You don't get to drink.
Amen.
Hello? But if you're going to perish, drink up.
Yeah,
eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die.
Yeah, amen.
You can't help that kind of person. You can't help a lazy person or a person that prefers pity over power. You cannot help a person who wants agreement instead of counsel.
Yeah.
Amen. That, you ever meet anybody like that? I meet them all the time. They come in here, and preacher, you got a minute? And they want to talk. And guess what? They don't want my counsel. All they want me to do is agree with them. All they want you to do is tell them they're right.
Yeah, amen.
Let me tell you what she did to me. What do you think I ought to do about her? I don't know what to do with her. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do with my husband. I don't know. What do you think I ought to do with him? And then she'll tell me what he's done. And she don't want me to fix it. She just wants me to take sides.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's
it. I just want you to agree with me. Can I tell you something, folks? You can't help somebody like that. You can't help somebody. They don't care about counsel. They just want to be right. And they just want you to know they're right. They're not, hey, can I help you? They have no intention of changing their course of action. They're not going to fix their plan. They're not going to adjust their motive. All they're going to do is see how many people they can get to agree with them. So they'll feel better while they're doing it. Are you listening to me? If you come to my office for counseling, Brother Chris, I'm going to tell you now. If you come in there for counseling, if you want me to agree with you, say, preacher, I need you to agree with me. If you don't, I'm not going to agree with you necessarily. I'm going to counsel you.
Amen.
So if you just want me to agree with you, Brother Brian, don't say I need counsel, preacher, because I'm not that smart. I'll counsel you. Are you hearing me?
Sure.
You see, you can't help a person like that. You cannot help a person that just wants you to agree with them. They got to be right. If the stars fall, they're going to be right. Don't matter. Hey, you know what's the old song? He said, she got the gold mine, he got the shack. Amen? They cut it right down the middle and give her the better half? You heard that. But he's telling his side, and he wants to be right. He don't want counseling. He don't want you to fix nothing. He just wants to be right. You know something? You know what men want more than anything in this world? They just want to be right. I don't care if it's theologians or scholars or if it's baseball games or what you're talking about. You'll die to be right. You can't help somebody like that. You think it's tough? You ought to try counseling somebody when they come in there, and they come in there just to straighten you out and tell you and let you know how right they are. You can't fix something like that. You can't help them. Amen? See, a religion tells a man he's got to work for his salvation. And if a man believes he's got to work for it, you ain't going to help him. You're not going to help him. Amen? Number four, let me give you, I'll hurry. Number four, you cannot help somebody who is religious but lost. You know what the Bible will do, folks? It puts the fear of God in man. Did you hear me? I said the Bible puts the fear of God in man. Religion puts the fear of man in man. Are you listening? Amen? Religion is man's attempt to get to God. Christianity is God's attempt to get to man. You cannot help somebody like that. You can't help somebody like Nicodemus. Amen? A man that hungers for the approval of men. That's what religion is. He's just dying to get the approval of the brethren. You know why there's some brethren I can't fellowship with? Because it's more important for them to be right with the brethren than it is to be right with God. It's more important for them to get a shout from the brothers than it is to get right with God. Are you listening? I've preached to that crowd. You can't help them. They'll cuss you. You can't help somebody like that. That thinks they don't need help. Amen? They're religious, but they're lost. Amen? Let me say this. I'll give you one more. I'm hurrying. Don't quit on me yet, folks. You cannot help somebody who God is finished with. Amen? Do you know, folks, tonight that you can cross God's deadline? Did you know that? You know, you say, prove it, preacher, all right. Ananias and Sapphira did. Amen? You say, what's that story about? You know Acts chapter 5. I'm not going to go back through it. But let me give you the outline. The land was sold, the lie was told, and the life was cold. That sums it up. You cannot help somebody when God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm telling you, there's some prayers that will never be answered. Are you listening? There are some people you can't help. I heard a story one time about a fella. He's going down through the country. His car broke down, so he took a bus ride. He was a preacher. And he was riding. He was going down through the country. And he came up along this little store. Just an old country store sitting out there on the side of the highway. And he said the bus had happened to stop there at this little store. And he looked out there and there's an old man. Looked like he's about 80, 85. And he was just sitting in an old rocker out there on the porch. Just an old country store. And the preacher said, God spoke to me and said, get off this bus and witness to that man. He said, I tried my best to talk my way out of it. I told God the bus would pull off and leave me. I wouldn't get another way home. I told God I couldn't get... And he said, after about 3 or 4 seconds there, real fast,
coming up with excuses the devil kept giving me. I finally said, all right, God, I'm going to get off and witness. He said, I got off the bus. He said, I figured I better hurry in case the bus was going to be running quick. He said, I went straight up to that guy, that old man sitting on that porch. He said, my name's so-and-so. I'm a minister down at so-and-so. He said, I'm here. I was riding on this bus. God told me to get off this bus and come witness to you. And I want you to know Jesus Christ died for you. You need to be saved or you'll die and go to hell. He said, wouldn't you like to be saved today? Let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved. He said, that man looked up at him. That old man looked up at him. Tears began to flow down his chin. And he said, preacher, I wish you'd preach. He said, I'd like for you to read the Bible to me. He said, I wish you would tell me how to be saved. He said, I wish you'd show me how it's supposed to work. He said, but back about 3 or 4 years ago, I was in a tent meeting. He said, the last night of that tent meeting, he said, God dealt with my heart to be saved. He said, and I knew that last night of that tent meeting, if I didn't go down and get saved, I'd never get another chance. God spoke to me clear as I'm speaking to you and told me, if you don't get saved tonight, you'll die and go to hell. You'll never get a chance to hear it again and be convicted. He said, preacher, I wish you'd preach. I wish you'd preach the convicting power of God in this place. And I wish he'd speak to me one more time. He said, but I can't get saved. And that preacher said he was the one crying. He turned around and got on the bus. Sit down in his seat, headed down the highway, and he'll never forget the picture of that man. His face and his mind, every time he stood up to preach, that man saying, I can't get saved. I wish you would preach, preacher. I wish you'd do something, preacher. I'll tell you something. You listen to me, you just keep putting it off. You just go one more day. You just let God convict you one more time. Maybe some of you sitting here, and maybe your heart's cold, and you're calloused, and you don't care a thing about being saved. Hurry up and get done, preacher, so we can go eat, so I can go home and get on with my life, because you're not under conviction, because God's already drawn a line, and you've crossed it, and you're doomed for hell. You say this. You say, why you say that? Because it just might be the case. Or maybe, just maybe, God will give you one more chance. You keep playing games with God. You keep turning Him away and saying, maybe next Sunday, preacher. Maybe Wednesday night. I'll be back Wednesday night. Maybe God will let me get saved Wednesday night. Well, maybe He will. Maybe He won't. Because sooner or later, if you haven't already, you're going to cross this deadline.
Right.
And prayers ain't going to be answered.
No.
There's a room where you won't find mercy and grace won't be there.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
There's a line that you will not cross with God.
Yeah.
And that's His deadline.
Yeah.
All right, stand with me please. Miss Gay, come to the piano. I'm telling you, folks, you cannot help a person when God's finished with them. I was preaching a meeting back a while back under a tent just a few years back. One of the last meetings I ever preached. I got through preaching. I was given an invitation. A young man came up to me and he said, preacher, how do I get under conviction? 15 years old. I said, what do you mean, son? He said, I was here last night and you preached. And he said, God told me to get saved. He said, I want to get saved tonight, but God ain't convicting me. I said, I can't help you. I'm telling you, there's some people tonight you can't help. You ain't going to fix their problem. If God shuts them off, if God closes the door, you say, God don't do that. God did it to a whole nation called Israel. What makes you think He won't do it to one person? If God will slam a door in their face, He'll slam it in your face. And He'll let you turn the lock. All right. While she plays, if you need to come, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible. Somebody will show you how to be saved.
Just raise your hand and come down here with your hand raised. Just surrender to God. Somebody will help you get saved. Are you saved tonight? Are you born again? Are you sure right now, if you die, heaven's your home? You better be sure tonight. Are you sure? Are you positive? Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? Are you under conviction right now? The Holy Ghost of God tapping on your heart, saying you need to get saved. You better come. You better come. You better not put Him off. Christians, if you're here tonight and you're saved and nothing in this message has convicted or bothered you, why don't you pray for somebody else? You better come. You better get saved. You must be born again. You're waiting until things get easier. It ain't going to get no easier. I wish you'd shut up and leave me alone, preacher. I am. I'm going to shut up and leave you alone. One day, you would to God, you could hear that preacher preach one more time. Just like that old man sitting on the porch. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, why don't you slip out? Some of you Christians are to slip out. You're just about to the point of no help.
Amen.
You're just about there. If you need to come, a few more still praying. If you need to come, you come. Come on. Time's running out.